Success stories and interviews with game changers and thought leaders who have overcome both in life and in business. Welcome to Vertical Momentum.
Hey guys, if you're enjoying our show, if you love what we're doing, if you would like to support us, we have a whole bunch of great stuff coming out. We have a brand new t-shirt line that's coming out. Hats, coffee mugs, any kind of swag that lets your friends know that you support Vertical Momentum and you're always looking to get better. Also, we have our new coffee brand coming out. It's called Vertical Momentum Coffee. It's ass-kicking coffee. And it will get you moving in the morning. So guys, if you're interested, go to www.richardkaufman.net. Check us out. Leave us a note. Tell us what you'd like, and we'll actually send it to you. The new website is being built. So if you guys want to, our book is out there on Amazon. It's called A Hero's Journey from Darkness to Light. Definitely check it out. It talks about my story, but it also talks about how to survive depression, how to survive addiction. All right, guys, I love you. Thank you so much for always supporting our mission, which is to save lives. Hey, guys. Welcome to another episode of Vertical Momentum. I'm your host, Richard Kaufman. Today, I have an amazing guest. If you're not motivated by when you turn this on, you're going to be motivated when you shut this off. Mr. John Anderson, my brother, what's going on?
What is happening? I'm happy to be here. Inspire and motivate, that's the name of the game. You hit it right on the head, brother. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing amazing. I know we've been trying to get this together for a while, but thank you for hopping on. It's Motivation Monday. So how's your day going, brother? What's new? I loved your latest video. Truly amazing.
You know, every day is a day to improve. That's the bottom line. Call it Monday, call it Sunday, call it Tuesday. The name, it's a zero-sum game. Every day, you've got to get a little bit better than you were yesterday.
I love that. And by the way, first of all, I always want to say thank you for being a patriot. Thank you for loving this country. And thank you for loving our military.
Absolutely. You know, freedom is not free. And for all of those that have given their lives and parts of their lives to keep us in this, very safe, beautiful country, my hat is off.
I love it. I just want to thank our sponsors today. As obviously you're in the bodybuilding and fitness industry, companies called NutriBio. They love this country. Mark Glazier makes amazing products. So I just want to say thank you, NutriBio, for keeping us on the airwaves. So John, talk to us about yourself, because I love, especially, you know, you're a coach, pro bodybuilder, pro strongman, wrestling. You've kind of done it all. So, but
yeah,
what was little John like?
Well, that's the root of the whole thing, my brother. I was, looking at me now, you wouldn't know that I was a overweight youngster, scared of my own shadow with a whopping learning disability. And so this is back in the days before, you know, we had all these different ways to help kids that were not able to kind of stay up to speed with the curriculum. So I was basically just sent to what they call the resource room, otherwise known in those days. So there were.
You might have muted yourself. Don't let your phone lock, or else it'll mute you. I got okay. You. Yeah, we're back. Now, where did you grow up? What state were you grown? What state did you grow up in?
I actually was in Oregon. Did you catch all of what I was saying before? Did I mute somehow what I was saying before,
yeah, the phone locks, it automatically mutes you.
Okay, gotcha. So I basically grew up, I was in, originally I was from California, but my mom remarried. And at that point, we moved up to Oregon. And so that's where I did most of my schooling all the way through college before I came back to California. So really, my biggest blessing in all of this was the fact that I, that little guy that had an uphill battle. I had to work twice as hard with school. Had to work twice as hard to just to kind of be on the field, so to speak, because I was a late bloomer. I was overweight, and I didn't keep in mind. I didn't have. There was no reason. I don't have a terrible story about why, you know, I was an overweight kid. I wasn't eating to cover up something bad that happened to me. I just had, you know, a huge love for cookies and ice cream. And so I was the little guy that would go hide with food. And it just, that was part of the process that tore down my team. And then along with the, you know, the whopping case of dyslexia and everything else, it just, that's these things right here. You wouldn't know at the time, they were my biggest blessings because I learned to work. I had to work twice as hard just to be par. Well, then I started to realize I got a little older, you know, when I say older, just kind of a, in my childhood, that working hard was actually starting to deliver some dividends. And so I started training with weights and I, you know, started to realize very quickly that I was better at lifting weights than the sports I was playing. And did I lose you again, brother?
Nope, I'm just okay. Listening and hanging on your every.
I just want to make sure I didn't mute myself again accidentally.
Now, when you first, who was, you know, because like I remember, I've been in the health and fitness industry since 1986, and one of the first people I really looked up to was Frank Zane. Who were some of the first people that you started looking to and thinking, I can do that?
Well, hands down, the first person that I saw. And I didn't know anything about this person was Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, cause I grew up, you know, when I was young, I was pretty kept away. You know, we didn't have television. We were told to go play and ride our bikes. So I didn't get a whole lot of exposure to this stuff. So the first time I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger, didn't know who he was. I just saw this big, strong guy. And right then and there, something in my chest, something in my belly. Something in my head just changed. And I knew from that point forward, that's what I knew. I wanted to be a big, strong guy. Had no idea at that point, if I was a big, strong guy, my life was a success. Obviously we know that being a big, strong guy doesn't mean you can support yourself and your family. But at that point I didn't care. So basically I just kind of continued moving forward with this burn in my belly, still overcoming all of my challenges. But again, those challenges where I'm working twice as hard is really where all this started to work for me. So in the gym, and luckily for me, I was one of those guys that was actually stronger than I looked, which is really what kind of led me into my strength career. So my training partner, you know, he was, you know, we trained hard, and he was always really kind of, to be honest, he was always pissed off that I was always so much stronger than him. And then we got to the point where out of college in real life, and he's like, dude, if you don't do it for you, just go do it for me. Because if I could do it, I would. I'm just not strong enough. And that's where, okay, here's the inception of my first strong. So basically, you know, the funny part is, keep in mind, I'm a big, strong guy, but I still have the mind at that age. And to a certain extent, even at 49 years old, I still, once a fat kid, always a fat kid. You never really outgrow it. You know, and again, it's still a blessing because I'm always on point. I'm always working hard because that's what I know. You know, I kind of outworked the fat kid. So long and short, I do my first strength contest, strongman contest, didn't know anything, wiped it out. You know, didn't really, when I say wiped it out, I won having no clue what I was doing. Willie Wessels at the time, it was strongman was all one amateur, federation at the time. Met him and he was like, dude, you know, I thought you were coming to look for a bodybuilding contest. I didn't know you were this strong. You need to go try to get your pro card. So I basically went next contest and won my pro card. Then the contest I went to after that, I had to qualify to go to pro nationals, and which I did. I went and placed in the top five there. So my fourth ever strongman contest was pro nationals. Now, here's the kind of interesting part about that. You know, I've been watching strongman on TV, as most of us were. You know, I'm watching Phil Pfister, Mark Phillippe, and Carl Gillingham. Well, bam, all of a sudden, I'm in the same contest as these guys, and I'm shitting in my pants. You know, so, you know, and Magnus for Magnuson is a judge. So it was like, it was a really cool thing. Now, granted, I didn't do as well as I wanted to. I placed eighth, which was not bad. didn't get me to where I wanted to go, but it did get me internationally recognized. So from that port forward, I was an international player and man. So I existed there for about 7 years. Had some great time. Strongman was my true love in terms of strength. I actually had a number of really good finishes. Only one pro contest, which, you know, most people at the international level will tell you winning a contest is not an easy task. And, you know, I had one victory the whole, my whole career, a number of seconds and thirds, but only one anyway.
So the that, further was, what, the, that was what, 2003?
That would have been, yeah. So I became pro, I think, in 2002. Yes. So that would have been, and I competed 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, and a little bit in 2008, but that's where I kind of transitioned into my pro wrestling career. I ended up my, you know, was, even though I'm a big guy in the strongman world, I was on the small side. So, you know, it was, I was in the Marius Pudzianowski era. You know, he was a smaller strongman, but very athletic. And so they were really tailoring the sport around him because he was such a hit. So it gave guys like me a chance. You know, if you're 320, you know, 10, 20 pounds, and you could move and you're strong, that was kind of the game then. Now, if I was trying to be a pro right now, forget about it. I'm a foot too short and 100 pounds too light. You know, I mean, now if you're not 400 pounds and, you know, 7 feet, you almost don't stand a chance, you know. So so the era was perfect for me. Ended up having a back surgery. And at the time, I was doing really well with, obviously, strongman. I was doing commercials and things like that. So I had an agent who actually told me, hey, you know, if you want to continue to do what we're doing and making money, we're going to have to get you into a different platform out away from strongman, because the surgeon told us if you go back to strongman, you're going to be back here getting another surgery here in a year.
So wait a minute, told you to go to wrestling? Were you going to be taking all these bumps?
Yeah, exactly. Well, but it's more of a, at least it's a little bit more controlled. I mean, granted, wrestling beat me up more than strongman did, but it gave me a chance to work around my injuries. There was no, as you know, having multiple ruptured discs and having surgery on them, there was very little chance for me to be able to continue to get a whole lot stronger on those ruptured discs for the force or strongman. And the way that strongman was evolving so quickly, there was no way I was going to be able to operate with the curve of increase for years to come. So it was kind of like, okay, let's take this opportunity to make a switch now before we get another surgery. And so basically, you know, keep in mind, he's an agent. He's not terribly interested in my health. He's terribly interested in the paychecks.
Yep.
You know, so he basically said pro wrestling. I was like, oh my God, I was never even really a pro wrestling fan. I liked watching the big guys in there only because they were big. It didn't make a difference what they were doing. Hell, they could have been playing chess. I still would have been interested if they were big guys, you know? So I knew nothing about the, you know, sports entertainment of wrestling. So I went to a school to learn how to do it. He basically put together a completely fake, sent it over to Japan. And so my last strongman contest, from my last strongman contest to my first tour in Japan was only about 9 months. And here's the interesting part about that. You know, it was like my seventh ever wrestling match was a pay-per-view in Sapporo, Japan. You know, just for people who don't know, you know, most wrestlers, pro wrestlers will, you know, they'll wrestle for years and years in the little high school gym type venues, trying to develop enough to get for a bigger company to come pick them up. Only because the way I looked, I got the opportunity. So I didn't know what I was doing. I basically, you know, I would just knocking some people down and flexing my muscles and screaming like a crazy man. And the Japanese people loved it. And so
Antonio Inoki is one of the greatest people I've ever talked to. And what a true gentleman, you know?
Well, you know, funny enough, he was the first one who contracted me, because he actually originally he had started a company called New Japan Wrestling. Then he left that company and started another one. It was called Inoki Genome. And I worked for him first. That was my first job in Japan. But yeah, I mean, he's involved in their politics. I mean, he's very, very powerful man, but powerful in a very good way. You know, he uses his power for the right thing. You know, he does a lot to inspire the Japanese culture and people. So it was, I was really blessed to have an opportunity to work, you know, in his company. And then as I started to get more popular, the New Japan, which was the company that he left, ended up reaching out and I got a job with them. And that's really where I wanted to go because they were a bigger company with more opportunity. But I got to thank Antonio for giving me the first crack I needed in Japan to get my name out into the Japanese wrestling world. And so basically the, you know, I had a great, great career at New Japan. They tagged me up with a guy named Nanabu Nakanishi. He was actually a legitimate badass, meaning he represented Japan 2 years in Greco-Roman wrestling in the Olympics. So he was legitimate. I was legitimate. And so, cause I came from another sport. So the Japanese fans just ate us up. And first year they put us together, we got tag team of the year. Of course, when you get honors like that, you get big bonuses, got a lot of other good fun stuff that comes with it. So we were happy. And then unfortunately, early that next year, Nanabu broke his neck in the ring and it broke, clearly broke our tag team up. And so that was kind of a bummer because we were on a really, they were pushing us really hard. And then when he broke his neck, they were, you know, trying to get him back and he came back, but he was never the same. So as time goes forward, it's, I'm 42 years old now. I didn't get renewed. They let me go. So I came home 42 years old. I, you know, did roughly 7 years of Strowman, another 7 years wrestle in Japan, but the juices are still flowing. You know, that fat little boy that's used to doing nothing but working hard for something was pretty lost. And so I figured, well, I guess I'm going to try bodybuilding. So I did my first, I came home December 2013, did my first bodybuilding contest in the end of March 2014, won it, went to a national, won my pro card. So I was one of a very few people pro card on the second contest, which was a pretty big, I didn't realize what an achievement it was at the time because I was just, you know, and my whole career, I've just been working hard to do the best that I can, not really worried about what is supposed to happen or what's not supposed to happen. And I think that's, you know, a lot of times people say, you know, how did all this happen? And I say, you know, here's how it comes down to. I was just dumb enough to believe I could do it.
Yeah. Now, you know, a lot of people, you know, because like I've been, like I said, I've been in the industry 30 years. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when a bodybuilder is just about to hit the stage for to try to get his pro card is when he's pretty much at his weakest because he's carb depleted, water depleted, and really feels like shit. So what was it like to know, you know, when you go from, you know, strong man to where you're at your strongest and then now you're here to win a title at maybe not your weakest but a lot of people's weakest? What was that like mindset wise?
It was very difficult because, you know, luckily there was a pretty big transition because I went from, you know, my strength career, you know, I'm just massive and, you know, world-class strength to wrestling where, okay, look, you need to be strong so you need to be able to lift people up, but at the same time, you got to be able to move in there. So I went from strength, my strength career, Strowman, I was at 315, 325-ish. Then wrestling, I had to be just, they want to be just under 300 pounds and strong and agile. Then to bodybuilding, it wasn't about the weight. It was about the look. So my, I was all the, on stage, I was all the way down into like the mid 260s to start. And so it was very different. I remember the first time when I weighed, cause you, when you're an amateur, they weigh you in. I remember I got on the scale and I was in the 260s and I was like, holy shit, I haven't been 260 pounds, you know, 17 or 18 years. It was definitely different. For sure. But I think the biggest part of that is you're so wiped out. You're so zonked getting prepared. You know, it's almost like it just, you don't have the extra energy to stress out over it. You know, so you just want to go get your job done so you can have a drink of water.
Yeah. So now, what's it like? Because, you know, there's a lot of guys and girls, they win their pro card and they're never heard from again. You know, yeah. They, you know, there's, and there's some great people that never won their pro card that should have won their pro card. And I'm a student of the, of bodybuilding. So there's a lot of great people, especially some that we just lost over the last month, but what did you do? You know, okay, because now you're an IFBB pro.
Yeah.
Now what? You know?
Well, I mean,
how are you paying your bills? Because a lot of people don't realize how much it costs to prep for a show.
Oh, so, yeah.
What were you doing?
Great question. So the nice thing with me is that, you know, I had come from two established careers prior. And obviously wrestling is really, it's you know, most people that go into wrestling, they want to make the money. So I wasn't hurting when I showed up into bodybuilding. But even then, okay, I'm a pro. Well, it's time to leverage this. So I opened a gym. I started my coaching business. I still had sponsors on board that were, you know, that were taking good care of me. So I've always, to what you said, you're so correct. People turn pro, they're like, okay, everybody start giving me money now. It doesn't work that way. It's a title that gives you the ability to leverage yourself to have more opportunity. Unless, of course, you're like a top three, top four guy, you're going to have companies that are going to come pay you a lot. But even then, these are year-to-year deals, you know, maybe two-year deals. You're not getting, nutrition companies rarely are going to give somebody a 10-year contract. You know, it's based upon how you are. If you're good today, you're going to get paid. If you're not good next year, you're not going to get paid. So ultimately, and this is just funny that we talk about this part, brother, because this really, you know, I've done a lot of stuff with my own personal accolades, you know, three different high level careers, but I'll tell you, one of the biggest, most rewarding things that I have done in my life with my career in the industry is when I started to coach people, and with all of my career, help people understand how to do things that they didn't think they could do before. And it's not only just the diet and the training, it's I really kind of teach a mindset, you know. And when you take the shackles off of someone's mind, so you know, that my coaching business now, I never ever imagined that I would have the type of fulfillment I have with my coaching business, because I'm always changing somebody's life. And that's the whole thing. My motto is, a good coach will change a physique. A great coach, will change a life. And that's where I try to go. People hire me to get in great shape, but when we're done, I've expanded their mind. They're a more powerful creature, not just in better shape, you know?
You know, one thing I got to say, you know, like I'm a big mindset freak. I'm always studying. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when Arnold was at his peak, I think he was 245 pounds. And in the moving pumping iron, he says, I train all year and then I just pick up the trophy at the Olympia. He had the mindset that he was not going to lose. So, you know, I've seen a lot of bodybuilders and fitness people. They look great, but you talk to them and they're dumb as a box of rocks.
You know, very true.
That they're really don't, that, you know, it's all about their body, but not about their mind. And they really mm-hmm. fit. So what makes a great coach? Because some, you know, there's people that can look great, but can't coach worth shit. And then there's great people that look great, but also can coach. So what is the difference?
Well, I mean, there's no question your ability to connect and understand the person is really big. And one of the reasons why I'm so good at why I do and how I coach, number one, I do it on the telephone and text, because if I don't know the person, I can't coach the person. And then number two, going back to when I was a kid, the fact that I had a hard time, you know, learning conventionally, I had to learn in other ways. I had to learn by understanding people. To, you know, keeping above water. Like, I could understand a teacher. Okay, this teacher doesn't like it when you do XYZ. I better not do XYZ because I need this person on my side. When I coach a person, I quickly start to understand what it is about them that they respond to and they don't respond to. You know, do they need tough love or do they need more encouragement? Because there's no one formula to coach people. You have to coach individuals. And so for me personally, it's just the way that I live my life. I'm positive. I constantly pump positivity to those around me. But more importantly, I think that's a big draw. People like that positive energy. But more importantly, when I coach them, teaching them to be the best version of themselves. I'm not trying to coach them into being a version of me, which I think that's a lot of problems with coaches is they don't really know how to coach something outside of what they've done for themselves or other coaches have done for them. So the simple way to answer that, brother, is you have to learn to coach the person. To coach a person, you have to learn a lot about that person. And like I said, going back to my shortcomings, I learned to understand people as part of my way to keep my head above water because I couldn't, in other means and other pathways of learning.
Okay. And I have so many questions, brother. I'm so grateful that you decided to hang out with me today. Thank you,
brother.
So
hey, brother, I'm having a great time just like you, man. This is
now, you know, we know, you know, Ronnie is all beat up. He can barely even walk. And because, you know, he tortured his body for many, many years. And then we see a guy like Dexter Jackson that worked hard, but he kind of worked smart. So, yeah. You know, I was in the military for 23 years. And I was a young man. I can't do that shit no more. But talk to us about, you know, working smart. I mean, you got to work hard, but you got to work smart. And, you know, when you're in your 50 years old, the training can't be the same way as it was when you were 20. So talk
100%. To us about- 100%. I mean, you hit that right. So, I mean, I can't speak for anybody else, but I can definitely speak for myself. And I can totally see how if a person didn't start to understand themselves fast enough that they could just burn the candle on both sides so quickly that it would do damage you couldn't undo. You know, so basically myself right now, 49 years old, my formula is constantly changing. And so ultimately what it comes down to is it's a combination of different types of intensities, obviously rest, nutrition's got to be spot on. So my nutrition and my rest are pretty steadfast. It's easy for me to control those because obviously I coach nutrition and rest is something you can kind of feel. It's the training part that is the variable that I use the most. So like currently right now, and you know, if we did another show in 5 years, I can guarantee you this formula I'm going to tell you about right now will be very different because the formula from 5 years ago is different than today. But right now, I mean, I love to train heavy, love to train aggressively, but there has to be a cycle to it. Meaning I can go usually a full bore 2 weeks of really, really good, fun, intense training. And sometimes towards the tail end of that second week, I'll recognize that, hey, you got to start pulling back on the throttle a little bit. But really what it comes down to is I cycle my training. So I have two good weeks, and then I'll have another week where I'm still training, but I'm not doing the same movements. I'm doing a different rep range. it's almost like forgive the term active recovery, because the idea is to recover, but I still want to train. It's not like active recovery going on walks, you know? So again, it really comes down to understanding the body, you know, whether you're trying to understand your body, you're trying to understand someone else's body. When you spend a huge chunk of your life, you know, it's like with my career, my nutrition has been what's allowed me to navigate the three different careers, being big and strong with Strongman, trimming down a little bit and being more agile in the ring, then just being straight up bodybuilding. It's all show, no go. It's not about how you perform, it's about how you look. And nutrition has been what's allowed me to navigate all these three platforms. Well, obviously understanding my body is part of, you know, nutrition, part of training, where my strength is as a coach, even for myself, I can register, okay, you know what? I'm supposed to train hard all the way through the end of this week, but I better start shutting it down a day or two early because, you know, I can feel when I would get up in the morning, I'm not quite recovering like I want to be. And it could be a little extra stress in life. It could be a couple bad nights sleep. There's a thousand things it could be. And whatever they are, it's not always the first thing you got to do is identify that you're not recovered and slow the pace a little bit. Then you try to figure out why it happened, you know? So it's like I said, it's really kind of the time I've been doing this so long. It's one of those things where these answers a lot of times kind of come to me. I can always explain what it is that, you know, that the answer is, but it's, you know, you do something long enough, you don't really think about it. This stuff, it just kind of comes to you. And that's really where my strength as a coach is because I can work with someone and the answers just start coming to me. And obviously the biggest thing that I do is I teach people, you know, I'm constantly trying to, you know, better my own system for myself. And when something works, I bring it to the people I work with. And it's a great thing. I mean, I have a ton of people that come to me in their 40s and 50s, and I've gotten them in better shape than they were when they were 20s and 30s. And that's just, to me, that's the best.
Well, whether you know it or not, you've been mentoring me for the last 6 months, and I've been using your training principles. So I'm very grateful for what you've done for me. I used to run a general nutrition center, $1 million-a-year store, and I would have people come in, you know, the first of the year, everybody wants to get fit, and they buy like $400 worth of supplements. And the first thing I would ask them, well, what's your diet like? You know, what is your food like? What is your food intake like? And they don't have an answer. They just think, you know, well, I'm going to take this protein shake and this pre-workout, and I'm going to be like the guys on, say, from Redcon One. It's like, no, that's not how any of this works.
No.
You know, so talk to us about, you said nutrition has kept you around three different athletic things. So talk to us about nutrition.
Yeah, well, I mean, hands down, nutrition, if you don't have nutrition in place, you're really kind of wasting your time. You know, it's the equation is, it's basically you've got your nutrition, you've got your training, which is the situation, you got your recovery. I mean, you pull one of these out, the whole thing's slow. Well, nutrition is piece of that equation. So one of the things that people tend to not understand about supplements is just the name supplement. In addition to, if there's so many people out there who are even coaches, which is even worse, you know, processed food, meaning protein bars, into a person's diet when they could be getting the food out of the refrigerator. Now, granted, on the road and they can't get to food, by all means, we'll use that because it's a very helpful tool when you can't get to your food. But food is always first. I mean, I will avoid processed food at all costs. Processed food, when I say processed food, I'm talking supplements, I'm talking anything where they've taken the original format and they've changed it with some sort of processing, whether it be a preservative, a color, a flavor, you name it. My recovery slows down drastically when you put any processed food in there. Now, granted, when you're younger, you can get away with a lot more. But here's the deal. I real program diet. Now, someone's going on a trip, they're having a hard time getting to food. Granted, we'll use that when it's in time of need. But I think what, you know, the fitness industry spends so much money on making people believe products is their way to success. When in actuality, it's what I tell people is, okay, you got a steak in one hand, and then you've got a protein powder in the other hand. Why is it that if you take that steak, grind it, put it in a can, throw it in a warehouse for a month before it ends up on your coffee table or your kitchen table. Why is that variation or version of that original steak? How is that justify how that makes it better for you? And then people are like, "Whoa, I never thought about it like that." And I mean, when you boil it down, it's all about nutrient value, and anything that's, we've lost nutrient value. It's just that simple. So my program is based upon the micronutrient values. So when I tell someone to eat you know, a lot of say, I want you 50 grams of protein, 40 grams of carbs, and 20 grams of fat, let's just say. I'm never going to tell somebody to eat like that. I'm going to say, I want you to eat, you know, 6 ounces of a lean steak. I want you half of an avocado. So I'm going to talk about the actual foods, because the foods is where the, you know, the learning to pick the proper foods is a big part of it too. Perfect example, an egg white is a great protein. That's for what I would call my protein shakes, liquid egg whites, pasture. But the value of an egg white versus the value of a red meat is very different. You can't just look at it as a protein as a protein. The egg white has a really good, it serves a great purpose post-training, first thing in the morning, because it absorbs very quickly, much the same principles of whey protein, but it's real food. You know, a lot of times people don't understand, they'll finish their workout, they have their whey protein, they're not hungry for 4 hours. That's because that whey protein is just sitting in there, it's not processing. And that post-training is when your body needs all the nutrient value. So if you put something that won't digest, your body sitting there basically trying to heal without any nutrients, you know, that are processing through. Just because it's in your stomach doesn't mean it helps your body. That makes sense?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, there's different quality of whey proteins. You know, if you're going to Costco and getting an 80-pound bucket for $24, you're pretty much not getting the highest quality that you can get, you know. So now I have another question. You know, I've been out of the health and fitness industry now a year and a half, but when I was just about to retire, young kids would come in and they were like, I want a pre-workout with like 500 milligrams of caffeine. And I'm like, bro, you know, you can't be doing that. First, you're going to mess up your central nervous system. Plus, you never see bodybuilders that are crackheads. Because, you know, so, you know, these people just taking pre-workouts just to have that energy. They don't realize that they're burning up that muscle tissue.
Well, that's the one. People, and I think Americans especially, they're right here and right now. And so having energy and having a good pump in the gym has somehow become more important than the big picture goal. Well, the gym, I'm on track. Well, that tons of energy came through the consequence of basically, you know,
system and milking your adrenal glands, which
this is not taking you forward, it's taking you backwards. And then a great pump in the gym, hell, you get into candy bar before the workout and get a great pump in the gym, but that doesn't help you either. So people tend to not recognize that the goal is one thing. All of the little steps between here and the goal is another thing. It's if you want to make an omelet, you're going to have to break some eggs. Well, that means that partway through the process, it may look a little bit messy, but the end goal is everything's cleaned up and you got a nice omelet to eat. People tend to look too much at the right here, the right now. That's why they want the pre-workout. That's why they want the intra pump products. And it's,
you're not really working on the goal. You're just trying to create a good workout.
That good workout today is,
you can't reproduce that day after day for any length of time. Won't be able to,
you know, with the stimulants. And using some sort of a pump product is great to get a pump, but it's not always going to help you with a goal, depending on what your goals are. So people just look at this
way backwards.
People that want to recomp, they want to build muscle and burn body fat at the same time, which most people think is not possible. I do it for people all the time. And one of the things that I'll say, look, we can totally do this. And literally inside of 30 days, you're going to end up feeling stronger and you're going to feel that your waist is smaller. Your clothes are going to fit looser in the waist. But this journey in this month before you're going to see huge results, there's going to be times where you probably won't have a good pump in the gym. But does it really make a difference if the end result is what you're looking for? And that's what people lose. It's okay, well, I didn't get a pump today. Well, if not getting a pump today is part of the formula to reach your goals,
I love it. So now talk to us, because, you know, we lost some great people in the last 6 weeks, you know, Mr. John Meadows and so on. You know, so me and you are about the same age. You're 49. I'm 52. I try to go to the doctor, get myself checked out on a regular basis. What do you do to keep your health in check? Not talking about bodybuilding or any of that. Your health, your heart.
Yep.
What do you do to keep that in check?
Well, there's a multitude of things, you know. Obviously, you know, living the healthy lifestyle, meaning, you know, I eat healthy whole foods. I drink plenty of water. I drink water on schedule. I make sure that I get adequate rest. Because one of the things people don't understand is stress alone is one of the biggest killers on the planet. And if you don't learn to manage stress, or if you, you know, you live your life in a way, especially in the fitness industry, where you're bringing stress in, you're really putting a hard strain on your health. I also am a big detoxer. I'm a big detox guy. I like to keep myself happy, healthy, and clean. So it's really, I think of when you break it down, there's not one principle. There's not one element. It's you're picking a lifestyle that is conducive to you being healthy for the big picture. You know, you can't say, okay, I'm going to do this to be healthy and then have that over there overpower what you're doing to make any progress. You have to do it from every angle. So I would say the things that people tend to miss the most about overall health is eating in a way that is actually helpful to your health. Making sure you have adequate water. And when I say that, it's not just drinking enough. I drink water on a schedule. It's very easy to do once you turn it into a positive habit. And then this is one that's really tough for people. And I've been doing it damn near my whole career. You know, and if I've got a show or an event or an appearance, of course, this isn't going to work. But if I'm home, I mean, how many people you know that have done that for 25 years?
Not many. Not many.
Exactly. And so these are the things. I mean, I realized early on, okay, I want to do all this, forgive the term, crazy shit that's going to be hard on me. If I'm going to do that, I need to commit to both sides of the fence, because this is going to be hard on me. So I need to commit to the side of the fence that's going to be the best possible equalizer to the extra stress, you know, that I'm putting on myself. You know, heavy training, you know, traveling a lot. These are things that you know, can really, you know, if you don't do all this stuff properly, it can deteriorate your life. Or you can create a platform and proper habits in your daily life that it basically neutralizes itself. And that's been pretty much my goal is, okay, I know that I'm picking a hard path of life. So what do I need to do to offset that? Because I'm, you know, I got three kids. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I got a grandson. I want to see all my grandkids. And I want to be able to be active to play with all of them. So it's, you know, I think that's what's missed. People are happy to go to the gym. They're happy to do this. They're happy to do all the parts where you're moving ahead. But they're not always happy to do the parts that allows the longevity.
Okay, one more question on nutrition, and I want to go into mindset. You know, my friend Jimmy Mentis, former IFBB pro, Jimmy Mentis, I asked him, I said, what would be your three supplements if somebody would ask you would be pretty crucial in his diet? And he said a multivitamin, he said a fish oil, and maybe some high quality protein. If you would say, somebody asked you the same question, what would be three basic supplements that a person can take just for general health overall? What would your thoughts be?
Yeah, I would say, he's pretty on track. I mean, I would definitely say a multivitamin. Only change I would make to that would be powder or liquid. Sometimes the pills just don't break down and absorb well. The bioavailability is not there. I would try to include that in the multivitamin, but you rarely get those put together. So we're going to have to use number two as the, you know, the fish oils. But then again, my diet, I have so much healthy fat in there, but my wife still wants me to take the fish oil. So I do that as well. And then, so I'm totally in agreeance what he's saying, those first two. I think I do shy away from the protein powder, because then we're bringing a processed food into the equation. So what I try to think of is supplement in a way that is still as real food as possible. So my change to his three would be, forget the protein powder, use a liquid egg white, an organic pasteurized liquid egg white. Same principle, just a little more tough to handle because it has to be, you know, kept to refrigerated.
Yep.
So that would be, you know, in term, I guess you could kind of argue, you know, is that a supplement? But if you get really down to it, a supplement is something you need in addition to what you're eating. Well, an egg white is really just getting more protein in more efficiently, easier, but we're still using an organic product that doesn't put any strain on the system.
I love that. Now we're talking about mindset, because I think we're talking about all mindset. And, you know, John McCaskill, he's a retired Navy SEAL commander. And he always talks about the hour before you go to bed and the first hour when you wake up are the two most important times of your day if you're going to succeed or fail. So talk to us about your rituals, your morning rituals, and your evening rituals.
Well, that's interesting, because there are a lot of similarities there. So I'm a big one on pre-planning. Now, this goes back to when I was the little guy. I had to pre-plan only because if I had to do something on the fly, I usually couldn't keep up with it. So, you know, I went as far as, I'm you know, 8 years old, you know, I laid out my clothes the night before. I had my, you know, my bags were packed. My lunch was made in the refrigerator. So this goes in now, bringing this to current time. Every single day before I go to bed, I will make sure that the next day is completely planned. Now, granted, that plan obviously sometimes will execute right to the T, other times it changes a little bit. But I never wake up, my feet don't hit the floor without, I'm already premeditated. I wake up and I know what's happening for the day. Now, granted, I use a book. This is actually kind of cool. I have a book. Every single one whole page is one day, and it's a planner. I've used these since 1992. So I actually have a shelf where there's this whole row of these books, and each one of these books represents a year of my life. So you can pull out any year you want, go to a certain day, open it up and see what I was doing, who I was talking to, what my to-do list was. So the idea of, you know, mindset and, you know, there's one thing with being strong in mind, you know, obviously that's, you've developed that, but there's another thing with being pre-planned and creating that habit. See, now I, you know, I'm not going to go get in the shower to get cleaned up for the night until I've sat at my desk, looked at my book, looked at my day, laid everything out. Does this look like everything's going to go? And basically, the last thing that I see before I kind of start powering off for the night is the schedule for my day, my to-do list, and the calls that I need to make. It's, you know, when I look at my day schedule, my train, even though I know I'm going to train, I still write training in there. There's just something about the old-fashioned art of handwriting something that ingrains it in my head. So when my feet hit the floor in the morning, I'm just executing at that point. The planning was done the day before.
I love that. I've learned that, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I don't touch my phone for like the first 15 or 20 minutes because I want my mind to be clear. Because a lot of people, as soon as they wake up, they hit their phone. All of a sudden, they're seeing all this negative stuff going on, and their whole day just goes to shit before it even starts.
Isn't that the truth, man? Your phone can be such a it can plant so many negative things in your mind before you're even conscious enough to deal with them, you know?
Yeah. Now I got a question for you to talk about a little bit about business. And like, thank you for taking this time. I know your time is precious, but I just want to say thank you.
I appreciate that, brother.
You know, a lot of people were in the fitness industry 5 years years ago, crushing it, and, you know, getting contracts from Muscle Tech, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, social media comes around, and all those companies are like, we don't need you. We don't need you. So now talk to us, because now we're in it right as Instagram, Facebook, and all that started. So now how does a person that's in the industry make a living without hopping from, you know, company to company to company? And they say that you're a sponsored athlete when all they do is send you a pound of protein and you're not making any money.
Yeah, no, it's the landscape has changed. So keep in mind, back in my strength career, social media hadn't even been born yet. So, I mean, it was like, I remember my first real sponsor was MHP.
I know Gerard.
Gerard Dente. Oh yeah, I love Gerard. And here's the thing. This is back in the day, there was no social media. He came up to me on test, basically introduced himself and said, you know, I'd like to talk to you about sponsoring you with my company, MHP. And that was my first experience with nowadays. I mean, in those days, they're basically contracting the person. How do you look? How do you act? How do you hold yourself? You know, what's your value as a person? Well, now when you have sponsors, you know, you basically have a person that's getting a sponsor based upon his social media following. It has nothing to do with 200,000 followers. You know.
So anyway, on that level, companies are coming looking for people with following.
So to answer the question,
we used to see are not like they were.
But the flip side is, with everything in life, anytime something kicks you in the nuts, it's also an opportunity. You just, you know, when you get kicked in the nuts, you're on your hands and knees on the ground. I always remind myself, hey, I'm down here because I'm supposed to be looking for something that's going to be my next better, bigger step. So when social media hit, yes, it was pretty drastically negative for a lot of people. But what it also did is it created huge opportunities for those that actually wanted to work for it. So social media has made a lot of people a lot of money. Now, the only unfortunate part about that is that it's made a lot of people a lot of money who may not be as deserving of the people who were digging in the trend to create, you know, an actual athletic name and, you know, perform. When you're an athlete and you're working on competing and performing, it takes a lot of time. You get some job, get a set of abs and, you know, Photoshop and get the contract because he's got a big following. Versus the guy who's been competing for the last 10 years, that's kind of sad. But the guy that's been competing for the last 10 years can harness social media just the same as the guy who, you know, who just basically Photoshopped his apps, you know? So I guess long and short of it is it sucked to see that there's you know, a lot of people that are harnessing it when they really haven't done much. But at the same time, it's also that same opportunity is there for the guy who has done a lot. And if he harnesses that properly, he'll make more money than he was before when he was contracted.
And, you know, a lot of, you know, one thing I love about you, I started following you a couple years ago because you reminded me of Bill Goldberg and superstar Billy Green. Because you have a presence, and a lot of people that are pros, they can't put two words together. And so when you're talk to us about having presence on social media, because you draw people in, you make people listen to you, you have a presence. And I'm sure that wasn't something that just your first video between now and then must be light years apart, correct?
Yeah, for sure. Well, story, because way back when in my first career strongman before social media, I mean, you really got, you know, the older guys would bust you up if you were trying to self-promote. self-promotion was not allowed. It was like, what are you doing? You know, don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass the U.S. athletes. I mean, it was really, really, you know, self-promotion was frowned upon. Social media hit. Obviously, that changed. Well, this was right about the point where social media hit about wrestling. Well, wrestling, you're trained to be entertaining, and you're trained to be able to talk in front of a camera. And so I basically just took those skills and realized, you know, now that I'm a pro bodybuilder, you know, the biggest thing that I want to be able to do in my coaching business is inspire people, show them that they can. And so I basically kind of took the skills that I learned with cutting promos and wrestling and turned it into a very in your face, but positive message that I hope that everybody could benefit from. And that's pretty much what it comes down to. So, because, you know, like you said, I'm a guy, I try to be entertaining when I'm talking, and especially in my videos, you know, I flex my muscles. You know, the funny part is the early part of my daily deep water motivation is I never cussed. And as soon as I started to cut, that much more popular. So I guess it takes a few F-bombs to get people's attention nowadays. Yeah, so ultimately, it's me trying, if I can do daily, it would be, if I had to pick one thing, I would inspire people. And if I inspire people, it inspires me. Because when I inspire somebody to do something I couldn't do before, and I see how, you know, I see how excited they are, how delayed, they're just, it's like a whole new world opened up to them. It re-inspires me. So it's like this, you inspire someone, them being inspired re-inspires you, and that energy comes back in again, but it's even bigger and better. Somebody else gets changed, it comes back to you, and it's just like this positive vortex that gets bigger and faster. I'm just jacked. It's that, you know, it does, because ultimately when it comes down to it, if I could pick one thing every day that I got to do, it would be to inspire.
Well, brother, you inspire me. So last two questions, how do we find you? How can we get involved in your coaching programs? So how can we help you in your and your mission?
Well, on that level, I just tell everybody, I got quite a few different social media platforms. So my Instagram, I actually spend a lot of time in my direct messages, in my Instagram, so that I can connect with people. So if you want to tie in, you'll be really surprised. You come into my DM, my Instagram, you could just say hi. You could say anything. I'm going to respond because I'm in there and I'm trying to inspire. I'm trying to get people to recognize that they can. So if you want to connect with me, my Instagram, which is at the John Anderson. My name is spelled different. I don't know if you could put a link for people to see, but it's J-O-N and Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N instead of O-N. But yeah, if you're able to put a link for people to see somehow, that'd be great, brother, because I get the double whammy misspelling with my name. But on that level, if you want to get in touch with me, you want to just shoot the shit, or you want to inquire about what I do with coaching, either or is fine with me, because the bottom line is I'm going to inspire you, whether you just stop it and say hi, or whether you want to work under my wing.
Is there any companies or anything you would like to shout out while we're talking?
You know, when it comes right down to it, I think the biggest thing that I would put out there right now for people, I'm really trying to get people to understand, is the whole movement on protein supplements, okay? Protein supplements. If you can use a supplement that is not processed food. So what I've been pushing, I use a ton of it myself. It's a company called Egg Whites International. It's an organic, pasture egg white product that you can literally, you can put anything in there to flavor it, and it digests well. This is what I use for all of my clients. So if you're just curious to kind of see what the difference between using a protein powder and an organic protein supplement, give that a try. Egg Whites International, great product. But I would say overall, you know, I try to really, if there's anything I want to plug, is being organic and being motivated and inspired.
I love it. Last question I ask everybody, and I ask 1,000 people, and I get 1,000 different answers.
Yeah.
I live here in New Jersey. We're still under COVID, and I think it's not getting any better. So we have a lot of parents that lost jobs, so they're driving Uber and DoorDash just to pay their bills. So if I ask the average American to do something in 7 days, they're never going to get to it. But if I ask a person to take an actionable step in the next 24 hours, they're more likely to do it. So if there's somebody that's listening to this, they're struggling with their health. They're struggling, you know, maybe, you know, 45, 50 years old, carrying an extra 30 pounds around, pre-diabetic. What is mm-hmm. something you can do in the next 24 hours to start to get back on the right path?
Simple answer. Simple, yet very effective. Number one, motivation comes through movement. Get up and go for a walk. If it's raining outside, you know, walk around your house. Walk for 20 minutes. Don't even have to walk fast. Every day, if you walk for 20 minutes, you'll be mentally more clear. You'll be physically more motivated and inspired to do things. And more importantly, blood circulation is one of the biggest elements that Americans are missing, because we don't move enough. So movement is key. Just remember this simple phrase: motivation comes through movement. 20-minute walk, 30-minute walk every day will change your life.
And so one last thing, what is this transformation course that you have going on?
So basically, everybody has their own goals, right? When I say a transformation, some people, that means they want to drop some body fat, build some muscle. Other people, so your goals is your transformation. So once someone tells me what their goals are, transformation is just a term for moving from point A to point B. Well, once I know someone's goals, I'm going to create the program. It's going to be everything. It's going to be obviously physical activity. It's going to be a diet. And more importantly, it's going to be positive habits built into the whole program to help the transformation. Now, transformation, remember, you're getting yourself from point A to point B. Now, the fact that I'm teach you how to do this through habits in your life, this is where the value is, because I'm telling you what to do. I'm teaching you what to do, and I'm helping you create the good habits in your life that will carry you forward with your goals in play. You've transformed. How do you keep it there? Well, the positive habits that we created together, the positive habits that you're going to continue to do because there's some things you enjoy, because it makes you feel good, this program is all about. It's transforming physically and mentally. It's not just getting rid of a gut. It's okay, someone got overweight because they have a series of habits, negative habits that led them there. We need to reconstruct those habits into positive ones that helps us transform into the new, the new improved version of yourself. But more importantly, the positive habits that we created to get you there are going to continue, and you're going to keep what you got. Your transformation is the new you, and you're going to keep it.
I love it. But guys, so guys, if you want to transform your life and your body, go to www.johnandersoncoaching.com. Amazing website. He's got swag. He's got an ebook. He's got a lot of stuff going on. Definitely reach out. Tell him that you heard from us and that you listened to this, and I'm sure he's going to take care of you. Brother, I'm so grateful for you today. I know you live a busy life. You got 3 beautiful grandbabies. So I'm just grateful that you're in my life, brother.
I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate your time. And anytime I can spread the positive motivational message, inspiring message, I'm all for it. So anytime you want to do another show, let's do it again, my brother.
God bless you. This is going to go out next season. So I can't wait for it to come out. People are going to be so pumped up. And if you have anything new you're about to drop, just let me know, and I'll promote it to my up to 1.4 million veterans.
Let's do it, my brother. I appreciate you very much.
God bless you, brother. You too.
Thank you for joining us today. Please hit subscribe and share. Please feel free to leave us a comment.